In a medieval world where strength determines survival, we meet Grunbeld, a towering youth with flame-red hair and extraordinary physical power. After surviving a brutal Tudor Empire attack, the 14-year-old encounters Benedict, a blind girl who perceives his crimson blaze and prophetically tells him, "You will become a mighty dragon with flames and scales." This mystical meeting establishes a sanctuary that will prove crucial to his journey. When Tudor forces overtake his village and kill his mother, Grunbeld responds not with tears, but with cold determination. Captured and transported to Chester Fortress, he requires special restraints due to his immense size. While other prisoners break, Grunbeld remains resolute, a stone-faced symbol of northern resistance. This unwavering spirit becomes his defining characteristic, inspiring fellow captives while foreshadowing his complex evolution from hero to monster. What makes Grunbeld's journey so compelling is how his greatest strength, his unbreakable will, ultimately leads to his downfall. His refusal to yield preserves his humanity during captivity, but later transforms into a dangerous inflexibility. When faced with impossible choices, could flexibility have saved him from becoming the very thing he once fought against? This question haunts his blood-soaked path to power. The Tudor detention facility becomes Grunbeld's crucible, where, alongside Edvard and Sigurd, he endures attempts to break his spirit. Under sadistic Sir Abacasis, prisoners face brutal conditioning, offered food for renouncing their northern heritage. While others waver, Grunbeld remains steadfast. "The people of the north are the clan of the bear and the wolf. We maintain our principles." When punishment fails, Abacasis targets Sigurd. Despite her trauma, she refuses to be a burden. "I'm fine. It didn't affect me." This shared resilience forges an unbreakable bond between them. Over 4 years, Grunbeld grows into an 18-year-old giant, becoming both a physical specimen and natural leader. His evolution concerns his captors. Perhaps it would be more appropriate to think of him as something like a dragon. The turning point comes when Abacasis forces them to face a monstrous tiger with wooden training swords. Embracing Benedicte's prophecy, Grunbeld repeats, "I'm a dragon," and finds strength to wield an impossibly heavy warhammer, crushing the beast, marking the beginning of his transformation. 14 years after slaying the tiger, Grunbeld has transformed from prisoner to legendary commander of the Flame Dragon Knights. Now a true giant, he wields the same warhammer that killed the tiger, the only weapon able to withstand his immense strength. With loyal Edvard and Sigurd beside him, Grunbeld has become Grant's greatest defender. When Tudor forces advance under General Dougal, they fatally underestimate him. Expecting his size prevents mounted combat, they're shocked when Grunbeld charges in a massive iron-reinforced chariot pulled by 8 horses. The battle becomes a slaughter as the trio devastates enemy forces through their complementary fighting styles. After victory, Grunbeld visits Benedicte, now a priestess at the Temple of Extinguishment. She offers to divine his future, sensing something profound from the Behelet, a talisman he recovered from the tiger's stomach years ago. Though she warns it will change his fate, Grunbeld dismisses this, viewing it merely as a memento of his bond with his companions. Grunbeld's dismissal of supernatural warnings represents a classic tragic hero's mistake, believing physical might can overcome destiny. While Grunbeld serves as Grant's shield, political intrigue festers within. Grand Duke Haakon, his face bearing tumors from surviving multiple poisonings, grows jealous of Grunbeld's popularity, especially when rumors suggest his wife desires the warrior. The situation deteriorates when Tudor's general Abacasis secretly meets with Haakon, revealing plans for a massive assault. 100,000 Tudor troops against Grant's 18,000 defenders. Abacasis offers Haakon wealth and Tudor imperial family membership for betrayal. Knowing Grant cannot withstand such an attack, Haakon decides to betray his nation. Rather than directly assassinating Grunbeld, he devises an insidious plan using Edvard to divide Grunbeld's forces, arranging marriages for both Sigurd and Grunbeld, with Grunbeld to wed Fulda herself. This announcement creates emotional chaos. Unspoken romantic tensions simmer between multiple parties. Edvard and Sigurd, while both Sigurd and Benedicte harbor feelings for Grunbeld. Håkon's machinations reveal how corruption works through manipulating love and loyalty, the most devastating betrayals often disguised as honor and duty. The emotional web tightens when Grand Duchess Fulda attempts to seduce Grunbeld. When Edvard discovers his mother naked in Grunbeld's quarters, he confronts her in rage and, overwhelmed by fury about his family's corruption, strangles her to death. This moment marks his descent into darkness. In his fragile state, Edvard succumbs to Håkon's manipulations. His father reframes the matricide as evidence of royal ambition, presenting Edvard with a choice. Live in Grunbeld's shadow or seize power with hands already bloodied. While Grunbeld is lured away on a false rescue mission, Edvard attacks the Temple of Extinguishment where Sigurd protects Benedicte. The bitter irony peaks when Benedicte speaks warmly of Edvard's friendship with Grunbeld just before the assault begins. Meanwhile, Grunbeld transforms into a steel hurricane against enemy troops, only to return and find his world destroyed. How quickly jealousy transforms love into hatred. The line between devotion and destruction can be terrifyingly thin. Returning to his fortress, Grunbeld finds Sigurd and Benedicte dying from arrow wounds. Benedicte reveals Edvard's betrayal before dying in his arms. Edvard arrives with 10,000 troops and General Kirsten's severed head, shattering Grunbeld's world. While fighting and carrying Benedicte, Grunbeld is gravely wounded by cannonballs and Edvard's lance. Near death, Benedicte urges him to search for the Hawk of Light, a cryptic mythage for his future. Grunbeld's blood activates his Behelit, transporting him to an otherworldly realm. The God Hand offers a terrible choice. Sacrifice Benedicte and Sigurd for power to continue fighting. They show him the dying women about to be violated by Edvard. Remembering Benedicte's words, Grunbeld decides, "I offer them for sacrifice. I am a dragon." Her prophecy manifests tragically. Instead of becoming a noble, metaphorical dragon, Grunbeld literally transforms into a fire dragon. The cruel irony. In trying to save them from suffering, he becomes complicit in their deaths, trading their lives for power at the cost of his humanity. Grunbeld's transformation into a fire dragon manifests his lifelong rage. With crystalline scales deflecting attacks, he massacres Tudor forces, devouring soldiers including Edvard and Matthias. He methodically kills Abacasus, a fitting end for his childhood tormentor, before advancing to King Håkon's castle. Tudor's people believed the dragon saved their nation, unaware their salvation cost Grunbeld's humanity and his loved ones' lives. Years later, the Flame Dragon Knight journeys through Midland. Following Benedicte's final instruction to search for the Hawk of Light, he believes his destiny rests in the palm of God's hand. This epilogue reveals how Grunbeld eventually joins Griffith's reborn Band of the Hawk. The tragic irony is that, by following Benedicte's dying words, Grunbeld aligns with someone who similarly sacrificed loved ones for power. In our darkest moments, what choices would we make if offered terrible power? Grunbeld's story shows how vengeance can corrupt even the noblest soul.